You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Canadian Wheat Board was established in 1935 as a marketing system for wheat and barley. And while the Canadian Wheat Board has undergone several changes over the years to meet economic and political pressures, now it is under the severest attack by the Harper government. On the phone from Winnipeg in Manitoba is freelance writer Frances Russell. She's been reporting on the struggles around the Canadian Wheat Board, and we're happy to welcome her to our program this morning. Good morning, Frances.
Good morning.
Now, is Harper's opposition to the Wheat Board longstanding, or is this something since he's come into government?
Oh, it's quite longstanding. In fact, when he was, you may remember that after he left politics the first time, he became president of the National Citizens Coalition, which is arguably the most right-wing lobby in Canada. And in 1999, he wrote a letter to the Brandon Sun in which he described the Wheat Board as a, quote, draconian wheat monopoly that for years has relied on force and fear to exist, end of quote. And there's, you know, there's been reports that he's also compared it to the Soviet Union, and which, by the way, the NCC used to say Medicare was just a Soviet plot.
Well, this is Cold War rhetoric, which has a revival presently in the world. But is his effort to totally destroy the Wheat Board?
Yes, although of course, you know, they cloak it in the word of choice, you know, because they have several very small farmer organizations, the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association, the Western Canadian Barley Growers Association, that really got their funding primarily and maybe still do from the Alberta government. They say, no, we don't want to do away with the Wheat Board. We just want the right to be able to use it when we want to and not use it when we don't want to. And of course, anybody who knows anything about the principles of cooperatives and pools know that you can't have that kind of a system because it completely breaks down almost immediately. And in the case of the Wheat Board, because it does not, it purchases services. It's a marketing agency in which all Western Canadian farmers pool. You know, there's about 85,000 of them, by the way. That if you know it doesn't have terminals, it doesn't it has hopper cars. Actually, they were the federal government's. So it has to rely on, you know, everybody. You know, it's all for one and one for all.
Who would benefit if Harper were successful?
Oh well, absolutely no question. The five big agribusiness multinationals, most of them situated in the United States, Archer Daniels, Midland, Bungie, Cargill, Louis Dreyfus. These are the organizations that would benefit, exclusively. And of course, so would indirectly the American government, because what it would mean would be that instead of Canada being in a position to market Canadian grain, which is very vastly superior, by the way, to American grain because of our colder climate, our Durham and wheat are highly prized on the world market and fetch top dollar. So if they could blend that into their own inferior quality grain, they would be able to get the benefit of top dollar for American farmers and for these multinationals.
What are the tactics that Harper has used to try and get rid of the Canadian Wheat Board?
Well, they're extraordinarily anti-democratic and also unconstitutional, as now three different judges have asserted. Well, when he first took office, or shortly after he took office, he fired the president of the Wheat Board, Adrian Meisner. He fired or removed all the government-appointed board members. There are... There's 15 board members, and the federal government appoints five, and one, of course, is made the chief executive officer, and then the ten elected directors are elected by the farmers. Well, in the very first director election to occur right after Harper became prime minister, the government decertified almost 40% of the names on the producer voting list while the voting was going on. And, of course, they targeted people, smaller farmers, who they knew would probably be more intense supporters of the wheat board. The bigger, you know, sort of corporate farmers are the ones that are sort of leading the charge for so-called choice. So that was one blow that he did. And then subsequently, in July, you know, they in 2007, they held a completely bogus plebiscite on removing barley from the wheat board, in which they inserted a misleading question which told farmers that they could have the choice of marketing their barley either through the board or privately, which got, you know, peeled enough farmers away from supporting the board that the government was able to add their numbers to the relatively small number of people who wanted to end the board monopoly in total in order to claim that it had a victory. Well, the Friends of the Canadian Wheat Board, which is a group of farmers that's been established to fight for the board, went to court, and they won. They won that the fact that the government first could not abolish the compulsory marketing of barley unless they brought legislation through Parliament, which they knew they couldn't do because it would be defeated in the House. So the government tried to do it by regulation. And that was also found unconstitutional. You can't do, you're required to change it by legislation, and therefore you can't do it by regulation. And then, in a more recent thing, the government it's just about to go to court again. It gave a lot of the conservative candidates in this fall's federal election access to privileged board information, that is the names of members of the names of farmers with wheat board permits, and the conservatives were able to bombard these farmers with anti-wheat board information at the height of another director's election, which was going on this fall. And then finally, of course, at the beginning, at the very outset, at the same time that they fired Adrian Meisner, the Harper government brought in a so-called gag order in which they prohibited the farmer-elected directors and all members of all members of staff of Wheat Board. The entire institution was told that it could never do anything to support the monopoly publicly, that it couldn't campaign for it, and that the farmer-elected directors were prohibited from campaigning for pro-board farmers in the last two elections. Now, this, too, was struck down in court as unconstitutional. I mean, people have the freedom of speech. And it was interesting, at the time that it was struck down, Mr. Harper was in Saskatoon, this was last summer, and he said that he vowed to anyone standing in his way about getting rid of the wheat board is going to get walked over.
Hmm. So despite this series of very undemocratic actions and the court decisions and Harper's threat, as you mentioned, to still squelch anybody who opposes his objective, the farmers recently did elect a new board of directors. And were they what Harper wanted?
No. As a matter of fact, the balance has never changed. There's been two elections because the electors or the board, half of the board goes before its electorate every 2 years. There are currently 8 pro-monopoly directors and only 2 that are opposed. And that in the most recent election, 4 of the 5 most of them were just reelected. The support for the board remains very strong. It's 80% if you look solely at the people that they are electing. And this is after twice the government has tried to tamper with the number of people who have permit books.
So the farmers remain resolute in maintaining the board. Does that mean that the board is now secured?
No, not at all. I mean, there's absolutely nobody has any doubt that if Harper gets a majority, he will move very quickly to bring forth the legislation and destroy the wheat board.
And does the WTO have any role to play in the fate of the Canadian wheat board?
Well, yes, because as things now stand, the Agricultural Committee of the Wheat Board has moved to just outlaw the board, just make it, you know, illegal under WTO rules.
And would that be at the initiative of the Canadian government asking them to do that?
Well, no one knows for sure because, as a matter of fact, Canada doesn't even have a seat on this particular WTO committee. It's run by, ironically, a New Zealander who has moved to save the only other producer monopoly-controlled board that operates in the world now because the former Australian government abolished the Australian Wheat Board before it left office. There's a marketing board for kiwi fruit in New Zealand, and this particular individual who chairs this WTO committee has made sure that his removal of the right of the Canadian Wheat Board to exist does not affect the kiwi board in New Zealand in his own country.
So he's prepared to say what's good for me can be bad for you.
That's right. Absolutely.
What would you say is then does the fate of the Wheat Board depend on Harper remaining either minority or out of government, that the other parties, the other three parties in Parliament would vigorously defend the maintenance of the Canadian Wheat Board?
Oh, yes. Well, all the indications are that's the case, and I don't think that will change because of the change in the Liberal leadership. I have no doubt that Ignatieff will support the Wheat Board, and you know, the Bloc is firmly behind it because the Bloc quite rightly perceives that if the Wheat Board goes, well then, despite Harper's protests, supply management in dairy and poultry will also go, which is very, very popular in Quebec and also in Ontario.
Well, thank you for making clear something that is often muddled in media reporting. I really appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. Yes, it's unfortunate. I think a lot of Central Canadian journalists have no idea about the Wheat Board at all, and they've bought this line that it's sort of a holdover from, you know, Soviet-style command economics.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for your writing.
You're very welcome.
I've been speaking with Frances Russell. She's a freelance journalist located in Winnipeg, and she writes for the Winnipeg Free Press.